So I'm not here this morning to try and articulate a value of a mother or to, that's not what we're doing. And actually, I'll tell you right from the outset where I'm headed this morning. Pondered quite a bit what we could do this morning to honor our mothers, and what I could do, how I could give you a word of encouragement. And the thought came to me this way, as I pondered this thing, and I thought of everything that a mother longs for when she thinks of her family and what she puts up with. The thought came, just continued to be impressed on me that what I believe what a mom or a wife wants so much is just a partnership in working toward the same goal. Now, moms, wives, does that make sense to you? Someone to be working, that you're not alone in what you're doing. Now, am I off there? Am I missing something? This feeling of teamwork, a partnership, working together for the same mission. You have dreams, you have goals, you have things that you want to see for your children, ways you want to impact your children. And so moms, how often do you feel alone in that? I'm getting absolutely zero response to that, so I'm not sure how to take that. Am I off thinking there? You don't want to embarrass your husbands. I hereby give you permission to embarrass your husbands. Is that a real syndrome? Is that a real feeling at times as a mom? Just feeling like you're all alone in this? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. That's helpful. And so I titled the message, A Mother's Mission. But really where I'm going is I'm really going to be talking more this morning about the mission of the family, the mission of the home, than specifically as a mother. But I'm recognizing that one of the greatest gifts you can give your mother or your wife is the connection to be working together in mission. Working with her, helping her not to feel alone in what her dreams and goals for her children, what her desire to see the family be, in the work that God has called her to. So we're going to talk about that some this morning. In fact, we're going to look at two couples in the Bible. The first one is, by the way, this A Mother's Mission, before I go there, seems like May is sort of going to be missions month here at Maranatha. Next Sunday, the Hunt family, Jamie and Charlene Hunt, will be here with their children, I believe, and they're going to be talking to us about their work in Paraguay. Just really encourage you to be here. I think you will be very blessed by them as a couple and as a family. Jamie told me this way. He said, Lynn, I want you to know. He says, I'm not a dynamic speaker. But he said, we just want to share what God has been doing in tribal missions. And their work is out into the bush, into the tribal areas of Paraguay. And I truly believe, and this is also some feedback from some other pastors who they've shared at their church, that you will be blessed and will be encouraged and motivated. But again, a missions focus, and then the last Sunday of the month, I'll be following up on preaching on a similar theme, Lord willing. A message that's been stirring around in the brain for some time. So we're going to talk about mission here this morning, a mother's mission. And I would just also say it's not just for mothers. This is also for women in general. The Bible is extremely clear that men and women have different roles. They're created differently. And we could say that women are created differently, or we could say that men are created differently, if it feels better to say it that way. In fact, that may be more right that, to say that men are, but anyhow, they have different. We're different. Equally valuable in the sight of God, equally valuable roles, but we are different. God has given the role of a mother this unique gifting in relating to their children. Probably more noticeable as a mother goes through when her child is going through a very difficult time, or when I know with Jolene and I, when there is stress in relating to our kids, her response and my responses are quite different. And I often think about that I need to rely on her response to give balance to my response. Because, and I think, I'm going to say it this way, she needs to hear some of my response too. Amen? I need some amens to that. Come on, let's go. But yeah, there is, because we're different, we see things differently. And that's good and that's right. This week, we heard the incredible story of these three young girls who were found after 10 years and being kidnapped in Cleveland, Ohio. And I read with interest the responses of the mother and the little bit of information that were being fed. And the one story of the mother that left the child's room exactly as it was for years, and then she eventually passed away, I believe, as one report said, of a broken heart, just longing for her daughter, which she didn't know what happened to. God has uniquely designed women for the role of a mother and for a specific role. And I would like you to just replace that word role this morning with God has uniquely designed women for mission. And I honor all of you women this morning that God has given you a specific role for mission. Use it. Use it. I also want to just say that God has designed the home as a place where a mother and father can operate in their roles effectively. Where there are two mothers or where there are two fathers in a home, there is something missing. Where there is a lack of a mother or a lack of a father, there is something missing. God has designed the home to operate with a mother and a father, a balance. And I'm not saying that to place blame or guilt. I understand it's a fallen, nasty world out there. And to you single parents, I honor you for the role that you have to play. And I also lay a challenge out there to you to us as a church. We have a role to step in and to support the single parents that are out there. Because without placing blame or guilt, there is something missing in the home. You hear what I'm saying? Because it's not the way God designed it. And I'm going to be very clear that the law that our governor signed into law this past week, I believe it was, about equality in the same-sex marriage is a direct violation of God's word. It is not the way God designed it. But God also does not ask us to pick up stones. God asks us to let His love shine through us. We don't endorse it. We don't embrace it. It's wrong. It's sin. But we love. We love. And we care. And we teach. And we model the way God intended it to be. So we look at the mission of mother, we have to bring in the mission of the home. The two are so closely tied together, and we're going to do that. By the way, as a disclaimer, I'm not saying that all women were created, all that women were created for is to be in the home, the, excuse the term, barefoot and pregnant terminology here. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying. I realize that God has gifted and has used women in very many different roles. If God has gifted you and given you, opened a door, and you have given you the desire to serve in different areas outside in the home, go for it. Go for it. I'm not at all saying that. But I am saying that the mother in the home carries a significant role. And I would challenge you as moms, don't allow an opportunity or an open door to replace or take away from your role in the home as a mother. That is a God-given opportunity that should not be replaced by other interests or desires. Carry that role as a mother proudly, carry it highly and strongly, carry it forward. It is the greatest mission God could have given you. Two couples real quickly, and everybody laughs as I say real quickly, because you know how this goes. Priscilla and Aquila. We meet this couple in the New Testament, and actually we meet them first in Acts chapter 18. As Paul is doing his missionary journeys, he mentions this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. Paul stayed with them in Corinth, and they did tent work together. In Romans 16, Paul refers to Priscilla and Aquila as fellow workers in Christ Jesus. So we see this couple. Now, it doesn't mention that they have children. I don't know about that, but it does say that them as a couple worked together with Paul in mission. They were partners with Paul in mission. They were not mentioned individually, but they were mentioned as a couple. And I found that very significant. As they traveled with Paul, they actually relocated and lived in Ephesus for a while for the sake of the gospel. And we're going to see here that they opened their home as a training ground for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their home was used to spread the gospel. And so I want to use sort of hold up Priscilla and Aquila as a model here as we look at the home as mission. And 1 Corinthians 16:9. Brief reference here. It says, "The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Priscilla. Greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house." And we get this picture of Priscilla and Aquila, a couple that opened up their home and allowed people to come in, and where they worship God together in their home. It's this, by the way, it's out of verses like this that we get the term house church, that the early New Testament church didn't meet in buildings like this, but rather they met in houses. And they in each other's homes. And Priscilla and Aquila were ones who were had a gift of hospitality, and they opened up their home to the church. Later on, as I mentioned, they accompanied Paul to Ephesus, and where Paul then moved on from Ephesus, but Priscilla and Aquila stayed there, and it's like they reestablished their home. It's like one of the first missionary couples that left their home in Corinth and went on to Ephesus. While they were there, They were at the temple and they heard this young man come in, and he stood up and he spoke in the temple. And he spoke with he was bold, he's just educated, he spoke with a fervor. And his name was Apollos. And let's look at this text in Acts chapter 18. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor. I like this guy. I vision him as energy. You know, he come in there, this young whippersnapper, very smart, very intelligent, and just let him have it. You know, he was just, anyhow, I get this picture. He taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only of the baptism of John. What's wrong with that? What's he missing? What's the baptism of John? The baptism of John was one of repentance. So he spoke about Jesus accurately, but he was missing an aspect of Jesus. The aspect of new life, the aspect of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, let's continue. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, look at what they did. I love this. They invited him into their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They took this young man into their home, and they embraced him, and they recognized his teaching, his heart, and then they explained to him more truth about Jesus. And when Apollos wanted to go on to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. In essence, they brought him in, they trained him in their home, they explained to him more, and then they sent him on as a missionary, carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And mothers, I will tell you, there is no greater goal than to prepare your children to move out of your home and to become missionaries, those who are spreading the gospel. And by the way, a missionary is not someone who necessarily goes to another state, country, or across the seas to spread the gospel. The missionary is someone who gets up and goes to their everyday job with the heart of sharing Jesus and living for Jesus. When Apollos wanted to go on to Achaia, the brothers, they encouraged him. The disciples welcomed him. And on arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Priscilla and Aquila. Notice that this was not Priscilla doing the housework and Aquila doing the teaching. It says that they explained to him. They worked together. There was a partnership. I don't know how it worked. The Bible doesn't give us any details. I can imagine them sitting down at a table together, across from Apollos with a candle, with the scriptures opened up, and together they shared, embracing. They did mission together. They did mission together. We see these two operating as a couple. And again, in Romans, when Paul referred to them, he didn't refer to one of them, but he says they were fellow workers together in Christ Jesus. Not just Aquila, but them as a couple. You know, men, sometimes we feel like we got it all together and we know what we're doing and we think we're the ones that know the answers to stuff. But I just remind you that in Genesis 2:20, God looked around and he saw that there was no suitable helper for man. What does that say? It says that, guys, you are inadequate. Get off of it, man. We need each other. We need to work as a team. So couples, this morning, I'm going to speak directly to you a little bit. I'd encourage you this morning to think about your home and to think about mission. What does it mean for you as a couple to do mission together? What would it take? I'd like to just, I hold up Willis and Therese here as an example and as a model to you. A couple that are working together in the counseling ministry. They've taken training together. And I think they balance each other. I've heard Willis talk enough about, and you know, that, you know, his perspective versus her perspective. They see and hear different things. It works well together. You know, as a pastor, in the process of ordination and going through the certification of pastoring, the wife, Jolene, had to fill out a lengthy questionnaire alongside of the one I had to fill out because we're a couple. We're working together. I can give you many times when Jolene's stability in the faith has kept me going. At times when I struggle or grovel, her steady faithfulness. Now, I just encourage you as a couple, it's not about being a pastor or a counselor. It's about living life with a mission in mind. What is the mission of your home? How can you as a couple do mission and impact people for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Young people, I speak directly to you. As you consider marriage or dating and this whole process of the dance of choosing a spouse, I encourage you to keep mission in mind. Is your spouse someone who can connect with your heart for mission and what you want to, how you feeling, how you're feeling God is leading you in life? And again, I'm holding up several people as an examples, and I would hold up my great nephew, Dan and Ida Mae's son, Ryan, who has grandson. Ryan, who is after high school, went over to Spain and has been working over there as a single man. And he's been having this dating relationship with this girl. And I'm being told that before they started a serious relationship, the father sat down with his daughter and said, "Are you sure that you want a relationship with this guy who has a heart for overseas mission? Would you be willing to go and leave your family, your home, and go with him?" And before they started a dating, serious courting relationship, that question was posed. And I honor that father for holding that question out there. Why? Because the role of the home, the role of a husband and wife, is not just about surviving together and enjoying life together, but it is about rather doing mission together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, do you as a couple, do you as a family, do you talk about mission? And I was challenged myself in this one. Do you talk about mission? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ a priority in your home? Like Priscilla and Aquila, would you be willing to move for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is your home open to hospitality, welcoming people in? And oftentimes we think of this church versus home, church versus home. And I say if your church, if your home is an area of mission, the home and the church are exactly the same. Because they're both about mission. They're both about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's keep moving. Mission through the family. I want to take a second story. There was a, I run across these little things. There was this mother who was tired of her little boy following her around all day. Moms, you remember that when these kids just tend to shadow you and you're just like, I've got all this stuff to do and this kid is always underfoot. And you're like, go find something to do. And you're like, you got these things. So anyhow, this was happening, and this mother was sort of expressing her frustration and to her little boy, and the boy says, "Well, Mommy, in Sunday school, my teacher told me to walk in Jesus' footsteps. But I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours." How true is that? The mission of the home, the mission of the family, mission through the family. And I'm going to take you to a story, a famous Mother's Day sermons text of Hannah and Elkanah in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 1 is where we're going to go here. And let's pick up the story of Hannah. You know the story of where she was barren. She was not able to have children. And she went to the temple and prayed a passionate prayer before the Lord, asking for the Lord to open her womb. But let's just a couple things I want to point out. Year after year, here we go, 1 Samuel 1. Year after year, this man, Elkanah, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, by the way, the Bible's a wonderful name to get names, a wonderful place to get names for your kids. Hophni and Phinehas. And the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah, another wonderful name, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, that is a wonderful name. I think there's some parents that agree with me. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, but the Lord had closed her womb. I want you to see, first of all, they went year after year. They went year after year. Worshiping God was a priority for this family. Worshiping God was a priority for this family. They went together to Shiloh to sacrifice annually. It was something they did. It was a priority there. Second thing I want you to see is they had a love for each other. And I marvel at this couple's relationship. If you look at this, Elkanah, as a loving husband, he saw that to Hannah, something was missing. There was a pain in her life because she was barren. And we see Elkanah addressing that need and caring for her in a special way. And then let's look at 7-8. And guys, you got to see this. I had to chuckle at this. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival, by the way, in the year of polygamy, or in the time of polygamy, the other wife, provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, now this is just like men, let me tell you. Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 5 sons? Or than 10 sons, rather? Do you see what I see here? I see a guy that thinks, you know, he's like, you know, come on, don't I mean more to you? Men, your awesomeness and your greatness and your intense love for your wife, that's important, but it's not enough. It's not enough. You're not that good. But I say also here to all of you is a reality here that people will never meet your needs. And there's an intense conflict that will develop in a marriage relationship if you are depending on your spouse to meet your needs, because it won't happen. We're there for each other, but we will not meet each other's total needs. I believe, based on this, that Elkanah was a good husband. I think he was. But yet there was something there. There were needs there that only God could meet for Hannah. And we are all the same. There are needs in our lives that only God can meet. And your relationship with the Lord is so crucial. And I believe, young people, that's why the Scripture talks about not being unequally yoked, challenging not to marry someone who is not a believer. Why? Because there is needs there that we encourage each other to serve the Lord together in the marriage relationship. There are needs that can only be met through the Lord. And as husbands and wives, we encourage each other to grow in the Lord. And I hesitate, but I'll say this. There's something that brings a very... Yeah, I'm going to say it. There's something that brings a very... Just a good feeling in my heart is when I walk in the morning and see Jolene sitting in her chair with her Bible open, spending time with the Lord. I'm getting ready to go to work or whatever and running around, and there's just a steady confidence that develops in my heart when I see that. Hannah modeled a dependency on God. And we know the story of Hannah praying. Let's just read it real quickly. 1 Samuel 1:9. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In other words, he could see this happening. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And then she had made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Excuse me. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. And said to her, how long? I'm sorry, this is an intense moment here for Hannah, isn't it? And Eli, all that he could see, is, yeah, there's a humor in that. I don't know if you see it or not, but maybe I'm weird. But how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And as I read this and pondered this week, I just had to think of mothers. My guess is that many mothers can identify with crying out to the Lord in anguish and grief over their children. Hannah, it was due to her lack of having children. For others, other mothers, it could be because of what their children have gone through. Or perhaps it's losing a child to death. The anguish and the grief. But I want you to see that God heard the cry of Hannah. God hears your cries. And I can't underestimate or place too much value on a praying mother. On a praying mother. That's a significant role that you play. But the greatest act of mission that you as a mother can do is to model a dependency on God. Model for your children what it is to cry out to God, to depend on them, on Him. Teach them, yes, but learning from example is so significant for your children. And I'm going to say this, ladies, as wives, you model dependency. you will spurn your spouse, your husband, on to do likewise. You model dependency on God, and you will spurn your spouse on to do likewise. And then there was a mutual commitment from Hannah and Elkanah to serve the Lord. Samuel was born. Hannah did as she promised, and she took the child back to Eli. And I you need to get this picture of, I don't know how old Samuel was. There's been a lot of speculation about how old he was, either way, it's this mom taking her young boy. It says after he was weaned. So I don't know what age exactly, but it was taking him back to the temple and leaving him there. But it says that she spoke to Eli, but it says that they went, meaning Elkanah and Hannah were there together. And I had to say that it was them as a couple that did this. Hannah was the lead. She had made the commitment. But together, they did this. As we talk about mission as a family, for you as couples, is it your desire as a couple? Do you talk about it, that your desire is to raise your children to serve the Lord? And I could give you some illustrations of families and couples that have did that. But I'm just for this morning, I just want you to ask that question yourself. The mutual commitment to their children to serve the Lord. Psalms 127 references our children as arrows. And I'm going to read this out of the text, out of the message. It should be up there for you. And listen to the way this reads. Psalm 127. If God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. We could stop right there. That's a sermon right there. How do you build more than just a shack? Have your children be houses. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work with your worried fingers to the bone. Men, you think your main priority is to provide for your family? By the way, there it is. It's called useless. You are supposed to provide for your family, but work is not the most important thing, and I'm preaching to a mirror here. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? Don't you see that children are God's best gift? The fruit of the womb, his generous legacy. Like a warrior's fistful of arrows are the children of a vigorous youth. Oh, how blessed are you, parents, with your quivers full of children. Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You'll sweep them right off your doorstep. There's been a lot of messages and parallels given from this text. But I just say it this way, that arrows are not meant to stay in a quiver. They're meant to be shot out. And as I look at Hannah and Elkanah, I see them taking one of their arrows, little Samuel, and sending him out to carry on the mission of the Lord. Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. And I want you to, when you are involved in mission, if your heart is as a couple and as a family is mission, your mission is to go against the enemy. And there's only so much you as a couple can do in standing against the enemy. But when you have a family and your children go out, the cause against the enemy increases And the battle, more of the battle is won as we move out, as our children expand the impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe I should say it this way. You see what I'm saying here? There is nothing more important than the message that Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins so that we can have eternal life. That is the message of the gospel. That is the focus of mission. That is what we sharpen our arrows for and send them out so that more and more people can know the good news of the message, that they can be forgiven, they can live at peace. They can find strength in their relationship with the Lord to live life. And I just want to conclude by talking about a mother's heart this morning. Hannah may have left Samuel to serve the Lord with Eli, but Samuel never left her heart. And I found this so, so neat. And I hope you see it this morning as well. 1 Samuel 2:18 to 20. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe. I just found this so cool, so cool. Maybe I'm weird. But each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. So once a year, she got to see her son. And she would make this little robe for him. And every year, Samuel would get a new robe from his mother. Now, you got to put yourself in Samuel's shoes here. This young boy, knowing that it's time for his mother to come. And I get the picture of Hannah coming to the temple and this little boy Samuel running up to his mom, greeting his mom. She kneels down to his level and they embrace. And they talk. And it's so good to see him again. So good for Samuel to see his mom. And then Hannah reaches over and back into her bag. And she pulls out this new robe. And she places it on Samuel. What I want you to see is how significant the role of a mother is in taking robes out of a bag and placing them on your children. And by so doing, Hannah was taking that robe. She was affirming the work that Samuel was being prepared for. She was affirming the mission that God was raising this young boy up for. Moms, I can't stress enough how much your children need to hear your affirmation and your belief that God can use them in the work of the kingdom. Moms, continually take that robe out of the bag and put it around your children, affirming them that God can use them. That God loves them, that God has a calling, He wants them. It's essential as young children, but it doesn't stop there. Those of you who have grown children, and I'm going to just give credit to my mother here this morning, who continually embraces the calling that God has put on my life. Sometimes silently, but if you know my mother, sometimes quite often verbally. It's so significant. And those of you who have parents of adult children, I just encourage you, you mothers, to continually take that robe and put it on them. And encourage them.
in the way that God is using them or the way they are serving the Lord. And if you have children here, if you have parents of children that aren't serving the Lord, you can still put that robe on. And it's called reminding them again and again that you're praying for them and that God loves them. Moms, you don't underestimate the significance of your words to your adult children. It's huge. Those of you who have grandchildren, grandparents, do it. Do it. Continually hold up. Hold them up before the Lord in prayer. But don't be afraid to tell them that you're doing it. A mother's mission. A mother's mission. This morning, as we close, I'm going to close with this. Two things yet. One, I'm going to give you a word to you kids. All right, kids. I know. It's long. It's late. And it's nice outside. But listen to me real closely. One verse for you. Proverbs 15:20. Kids, honor your moms. Honor your parents. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Just want to encourage you, young people. Kids, let your moms know that you love them. Not only today, but often. But often. And you can, some of you guys that think it's, that don't like to say, I love you, Mom, just say, Mom, you're one of the coolest moms there is. You can say it that way. That's all right. That's all right. Let them know. And you young people, teenagers, your mom has spent many hours struggling in her own heart, privately and quietly before the Lord, and just within herself about choices that you're making, fears, concern, joy. And you may at this point in your life as teenagers not have the best relationship with your mom. But I just encourage you to find it within yourself to honor your mom. Recognize the role. You may not see it totally now, but recognize what she does for you. Honor her. Honor her. And the last thing, moms, I just speak directly to you. I don't want you to feel this morning alone in your mission. What I really wanted to convey to you this morning is that your mission, you're not alone. I want you to encourage your spouses, your husbands, and I wanted to encourage the church to link arms together in this thing of mission. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, and I'm hesitating here, but I think I'm going to do it this way. If you as a couple are here this morning, and you would just, listen closely to me. Spouses, if one of you are just feeling the desire to see your home and your couple, you as a couple and you as a family, be on mission. And you just want to really seek the Lord and say, tell the Lord that this morning, that Lord, we want to be on mission. And I know there's a bunch of young couples up here that are coming up on the worship team, and I give you permission to step down from the worship team as well. But if you just want to come and tell the Lord, we want to be on mission. If one of you, as a spouse are feeling that way, just tap them or slap them or something and say, come on, let's go. Let's go talk to the Lord. And if there's young couples that come up here, I encourage those of you who may have grown children to come up and just stand behind them and pray with them. We're going to just end with a time of praying for our parents. And only come if you're feeling it in your heart. Don't come just because everybody else is. And if no one comes, that's okay. But I want to give that opportunity as we sing for you as a couple to come. And we can pray with you about mission, about being on mission as a family, as a couple. Father, you've ordained the family. You've put it in place. Father, you've also called us as parents to raise our children for your honor and for your glory. So, Lord, we just want to say this morning that we need you. We need your power. We need your strength. We need a touch from you, Lord, to be able to do the task that you have called us to. As Hannah cried out before you at Shiloh, Lord, we cry out to you this morning asking you for a new strength, a new presence, a new infilling from your Spirit, Lord, to do the work of mission as a couple and as a family. Through our homes. Lord, that's our heart cry this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you search our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes to this calling in our lives. Thank you, Lord. For your word and the lessons that we learned from it this morning. In the glory of your name, Lord, we pray. You can stand with us as we sing and